A listener firmly but politely told me off for last week's grudging and admittedly insincere wish that the All Blacks come home with the Rugby World Cup. Mea culpa. But what about someone who could seduce and stun this confirmed rugby phobe with a novel about the 1905 Invincibles, no less? Well, that book was a 2001 Montana winner, The Book of Fame, and the author is definitely some kind of genius. If that's not a reason to run, not walk, to the nearest bookstore, and not only buy Lloyd Jones's Mr. Pip, but actually read it, I give up. But if you need a marginally less arty-farty reason, don't trust me. How about the folks who put their money where my mouth is? The clients of Amazon.co.uk and British bookies Ladbrokes. I came across this item on the Man Booker Prize website, which was rather illuminating. In the past few days, Lloyd Jones's novel Mr. Pip has also received a huge surge of bets, putting the title at 10-1 to win this year's prize. With the Booker or any other award, sales go through the roof once the announcement is made, but it is a real achievement to not only maintain those sales over the following weeks, but further grow them in the manner that a book like Mr. Pip has. And every prize has its share of inexplicable omissions and even more bewildering winners. And I'd put Kerry Hume's near unreadable The Bone People in the latter category. But part of me, the grubby mercenary part of me, wouldn't mind seeing a £50,000 cheque and all the publicity having the words Booker winner attached to your name can garner, rounding off Jones's well-deserved brilliant year. In 1977, poet Philip Larkin was chairman of the Booker jury and made this typically curmudgeonly observation. I found myself asking four questions about every book. Could I read it? If I could read it, did I believe it? If I believed it, did I care about it? And if I cared about it, what was the quality of my caring and would it last? I came to think that quite a number of novelists, and for that matter poets too, might do well to imagine a reader asking himself such questions about their work, because, to be honest, very few novels I read survived as far as question four. Far too many relied on the classic formula of a beginning, a muddle, and an end. Time after time, in book after book, Jones has shown that Larkin's questions can be answered with a resounding yes. And wouldn't it be a storybook ending if, for once, it wasn't pure fiction that nice guys do come first?